News Magazine on FM 94.3 KNIA in Indianola. Our candidate forum tonight,
2021 Indianola mayoral forum. I'm Bob Leonard. Tonight, Indianola residents and our live and radio audiences will have a chance to learn more about their mayoral candidates and their positions on the opportunities and challenges that face the communities. We are broadcasting live from the Black Box Theater on the beautiful Simpson College campus. We sound a little bit muffled tonight is because we're wearing masks, because Simpson College is very concerned with the health of their students and staff and the community during the pandemic. The event is sponsored by the American Association of University Women, the John C. Culver Public Policy Center at Simpson College, the Indianola Independent Advocate, and KNIA Radio. We're joined by our host, Seth Anderson, Director of the Culver Public Policy Center, and our moderator for tonight's event, Amy Duncan, with the Indianola Independent Advocate. And now I'll turn it over to our host, Seth Anderson.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bob. Good evening and welcome. We're pleased to host this evening's forum featuring the candidates for mayor of Indianola. As Dr. Bob mentioned, we're co-sponsoring with the AAUW of Indianola, the Independent Advocate, and KNIA, broadcasting live from Simpson College. The same organizations are also co-sponsoring a forum this Thursday night, October 7th at 7 p.m., also here in the Black Box Theater. That will feature the two at-large city council candidates. We hope to see many of you again this Thursday evening. Just a reminder that there have been some changes to the early and absentee voting period in Iowa that take effect with the upcoming November 2nd municipal and school elections. Early and absentee voting will start 20 days before Election Day this year, which translates to October 13th. You can vote early in person at the Warren County Auditor's Office or request an absentee ballot by mail. Absentee ballot requests can be submitted now, but county auditors must wait until October 13th to start mailing out those ballots to voters. And all absentee ballot requests must be received by the county auditor by October 18. All of those absentee ballots now must be returned to the auditor by 8 p.m. on election night, Tuesday, November 2nd, when the polls close. So the postmarks on your ballot are no longer considered, so make sure to mail those back in plenty of time, or if it's getting close to election day, go ahead and drop them off at the auditor's office. And of course, you can always wait until election day and cast your ballot in person on Tuesday, November 2nd. The polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on election day. And if you need to find your polling place or you think it might have moved, just visit the Warren County Auditor's website or the Iowa Secretary of State's website. And if you need to update your voter registration address or request an absentee ballot, we do have forms on the table, the small table over by the doors there. Tonight's forum will be moderated by Amy Duncan, publisher of the Indianola Independent Advocate, with the assistance of two Culver Fellows who will serve as timekeepers, Noah Trujillo and Ari Ziegler. Amy developed the topics and questions for tonight's forum through suggestions that were submitted in advance by voters. The candidates have not seen the questions in advance. And finally, just a reminder to please silence your cell phones if you haven't done so already. It's now my pleasure to hand the floor over to Amy Duncan, who will introduce our candidates, review the ground rules, and begin with questioning.
Thank you, Seth. And thank you to everyone who helped make tonight possible, including the voters who are here tonight watching or watching Facebook Live and listening to KNIA. But most of all, thank you to our candidates. As anyone who has ever run for office or lived with someone who is running for office knows, it's not easy to ask your friends and neighbors to trust you with their vote. So please, this evening, let's make sure we all give both of our candidates the respectful attention they deserve. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for an introductory statement before we start with questions. We will begin in alphabetical order, with Stephanie Erickson going first on the introductions, followed by Pam, and then the two will take turns going first on subsequent questions. So please, let's welcome our candidates for Indianola Mayor, Pam Pepper and Stephanie Erickson.
Thank you.
I will say what Seth told me. Speak very close to the microphone. Masks are not helpful to sound. So, Stephanie, we'll go first with you.
Just want to check.
Yep, this is your 2-minute introduction, and yes, Simpson does require us to wear masks at all times, even while speaking.
Okay. My name is Stephanie Erickson. My husband and I moved to Indianola in 2018, December 23rd, 2018, actually. Don't move around the holidays, it's really stressful. We chose Indianola after living in Altoona for 15 years. We were looking for a smaller community, less crime, and accessibility to my husband's job in West Point. Indianola met all of those criteria. Great schools, we have 2 children, Carter, who's 18, and Hadley, who's 12. Carter's a senior this year, and Hadley is in 7th grade. I like this community a lot for the sense of community that we do have as far as the people that live here, and I'm hoping that I can make that difference in bridging the gap between our citizens and the city. I think I'll pass to Pam on that one. I got a little thing in my throat.
Pam.
Good evening. My name is Pam Pepper, and I have the privilege of serving as the mayor of Indianola for the last 11 months. Some of you may not realize that the mayor does not vote in Indianola, but I've had the opportunity to lead council meetings, guide our agenda, collaborate with city, county, and school officials, talk with citizens and community groups, and be an ambassador for this great city. If elected again, I bring experience, passion and positivity, and active engagement to this role. I have a master's degree in public administration, and I have served this great city and local government for 20 years, 1 year as mayor, 7 years on city council, and 12 years on planning and zoning commission. I would greatly appreciate your vote on November 2nd. Thank you.
All right. Our first question will go to Pam. What's your vision for the community over the next 20 years?
Great question. I think we need to continue looking at our growth and our economic development. I think right now we are doing it in a very planned and smart way. I don't think we want to get too big too fast. I think we need to bring along our services in that process. So we can bring in lots of housing, but that also means there's an impact to our fire and police and our wastewater treatment plant. So I think there's a lot of pieces that fall into this, but I think we need to continue to grow, continue to bring businesses to this community. I think we need to continue to support our citizens, and I think we need to keep moving in that positive forward direction.
Stephanie.
I think everything that Pam said, we agree on. We do need to look at progress over stagnation, and we need to really invest back in our community as far as bringing new economic development opportunities here. Big topic that I actually ran on back in March was that I wanted to grow our industrial park. We have prime land on the northeast side of town, and if we are going to balance out the burden of the taxpayers, we have to bring in commercial development. That's a big focus of mine, and I think as mayor, we have to go out and we have to attract those businesses and encourage them and tell them everything that makes our community great. And I don't think that Pam would disagree with that, that you are the ambassador in the face of the community as the mayor. And so it's important that we are attending meetings throughout the state and trying to attract those businesses.
Our next question will go to Stephanie first. What could Indianola do to attract a broad base of residents and workers from a variety of economic and cultural backgrounds?
Well, I think that goes back to my last point, that we need to really invest back in and bring jobs here in the community. And jobs, from entry level all the way up to C-level executives. it's really important to do that, and it's also important that we grow, as Pam said, strategically, that we're looking at the parts of our city that can grow, and we are being smart in our housing and who we are allowing to develop in our community. Currently, we have a development going up with slab homes, and next to them will be $400,000 to $600,000 homes. So I have a concern about bringing slab homes, a concern of safety issues with that. And so even though it's affordable, I think that we can bring in better developers and still have affordable housing.
Our next question, Pam.
Okay. I think we need to look at this from a multifaceted approach. I think we need to offer good paying jobs and a variety of jobs. We need to have affordable and multiple housing, different types of housing for different folks. And we also have to focus on the amenities, because I want people to live, work, and play in this great community. So we got to think about what are they going to do after they work and how can they spend time with their families. There's impacts to our schools, there's impacts to our county, but I think we are up for the challenge and I think we can move forward in a smart way.
And this one goes to Pam first. And if I ever mess that up, please raise your hand because I get confused. In Indianola, the 6-member city council, as you noted, votes on issues while the mayor votes only to break a tie. Why did you decide to run for mayor rather than city council?
Well, I've actually run for both positions. And when I ran for city council, I said I never wanted to be the mayor because I liked having a decision. I liked having a vote. So I enjoyed that time on city council, decided to take a break because I think it's good to bring in some new people and some new blood, new thoughts, new ideas. And then when the previous mayor stepped down, I decided to come back into the fold and apply for the mayoral role because I thought it was time for some strong leadership, some positivity, and decided that this was the time for me to run for mayor. I've enjoyed the job tremendously. I want to continue the great work we've started this last 11 months, and I think we can move forward together collaboratively.
Stephanie.
In regards to that and the mayor voting on the tie, and they may have been changed, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the 2020 policies and procedures that were passed by the city council actually abolished any vote and said that a tie would be would fail. Now, that may have changed, so I'll ask Pam if she wants to touch on that later, but currently, right now, the mayor does not have any of those tie-breaking, from my understanding, and again, it could have changed. But like Pam said, we need to work collaboratively. We need to look at what's it going to take to keep people here in Indianola. That was something that really was important to me when I decided to run, because we chose this community. We chose it for our children, and I hope that my children will come back to this community after they graduate college. So I don't want to be a failure in that sense to my children. I want them to come here as much as I want these Simpson students to graduate and want to stay here. So that was part of the reason in wanting to run for mayor and hopefully make a change here and work on some collaboration, as Pam said.
And Stephanie will have the first response to the next question. There are some people in Indianola who are concerned about investing in the future to grow the community and that we have kicked the can down the road on major projects. Other people are worried that we are spending too much. Where do you sit on that spectrum, and what will you do to reassure people at the other end of the discussion?
I think I agree with both sides of that. 100% we have kicked the can down the road. For instance, we have a library with a 37-year-old boiler. That requires some expense to keep that up, but I think we are pretty blessed to have a 37 years out of that current boiler. Typically, in speaking to two of the heating and cooling companies here in town, they said we're pretty blessed. We probably lost our lifelihood of that around 20 years. So I do agree, and I agree that we need to work on infrastructure. We need to spend money and invest back in the community. But I don't agree that we need to spend money on monuments and flower planters and taking the easement from the county and then being responsible for the trees and the sidewalk, which is what happened when we did take control of that easement. So I think that I can see both sides of that. 100%, we need to spend money and invest back in our community to attract those businesses. Nobody wants to come here if the roads have potholes all over it, if there's not people to work for them. So I think that's a great question, and there's not a simple answer there for me because I see both sides of it. And I certainly am very fiscally responsible, so yes, I think we are spending a lot of money that doesn't need to be spent. But we're also spending wise money. I'll never debate that the infrastructure on the square needed to be updated. Not at all. There's no debate to that. My debate was all the extra things.
Pam.
City Council doesn't knee-jerk react to things. City Council looks at the issues, looks at the budget, gets data, and makes smart decisions. We had to, and I was on council at the time, we had to clean up our budget. We were borrowing for things that were dying before we paid them off, an ambulance, for example. So we cleaned up our budget, and then we really started looking hard at our infrastructure. We knew we had some issues that needed to get addressed, and we have taken that on and are working through that. Wastewater treatment plant's the first one, of course. These are things that people don't want to pay for, don't want to think about, but I'm telling you, you don't want that wastewater treatment plant backing up in your basement. So we had to make these changes, and I think we did them in a very smart way. We do research. We just don't jump in and say, oh, no, we'll figure this out. Then we looked at streetscape. When you have 75 to 100-year-old, we should not be replacing this for the first time. We should be replacing this for the second or third time. So I think we now have good data. I think we have a strong budget. We have strong reserves. And with that, we have a fabulous bond rating, which allows us to borrow money very inexpensively to make these changes. So I think council is looking at all avenues of where we can improve and how we can do it in the best possible way to, again, make this a very desirable community to live in.
The next question goes to Pam first. Energy conservation and solar energy have both been demonstrated as successful ways to both cut greenhouse gases and save money. How would you research and use these tools to benefit the city of Indianola?
Sure. We've got to think about ways that we can improve our city that doesn't cost us extra money and gives us a chance to use some of our natural resources, wind energy, solar energy. So we've been looking at our all of our building codes. We've talked about solar, about allowing solar panels. We have a wonderful sustainability committee that's always working with us, talking with us about ways that we can improve. I was just at an IMU meeting, and they were pushing on how can we be a little bit more sustainable in some of the things that IMU is working on. So I think we have to keep looking at all of our options, trying to find a way that we can offer good services at an affordable price, and that can continue to protect the wonderful earth we live on.
Stephanie.
I absolutely agree with Pam when she says about the sustainability committee. We do have a great sustainability committee. I was lucky enough to sit through a presentation on solar. I don't know enough about solar energy, and I probably should. And I agree, we need to take care of our community and, you know, erase the burden that we would make on the carbon footprint. And so I think that plays into everything Pam says, but it also plays into if we tear down a 30-year building, where does all that brick go? That brick is going to go into a landfill, and this is specifically to the library, so when we're talking about the environment, it's going to go in a landfill, and there's a 100-year lifespan of that product. And so that will sit, and I don't really think that that's going to balance out some solar panels to, you know, us and some of the projects that we're working on currently and what it will do to the landfills.
We're going to let it have our radio identification pause.
Thank you, Amy. You're listening to a KNIA special edition news magazine, the 2021 Indianola Mayoral Forum. Now back to tonight's moderator, Amy Duncan, with the Indianola Independent Advocate.
Stephanie, were you done?
Yeah.
Okay. You have go first on the next question. Can you provide an example in your work or public service of how you have successfully collaborated with others who didn't agree with your stance on an issue?
Absolutely. In 2017, I actually got involved in an organization in 2013, and we were trying to pass meaningful healthcare reform for children who suffer from autism. There is a major gap in Iowa in regards to providers and services, and so that was a struggle. It was our first go-around where it failed was in 2016, and what I was told by one side of the aisle was it's an election year. And so we had to still continue to come together, and the next year we were successful in that. And so I think that's a really important one, because there was a senator in the state of Iowa who I sent an email every single day for an entire year until they would take it back up for a vote. And I was always respectful in my emails, but I wanted to let him know how important it was for our children to succeed. If we don't invest in our children, we will pay for them the rest of our lives. So that was a really sticky situation when you've got major insurance companies who are lobbying against just a bunch of parents who are trying to do what's right for our children. But we worked together. It wasn't perfect, but it seemed to satisfy the insurance companies, and it's actually a bill we will continue this next year to try and improve and expand the services for adulthood.
Pam.
Sure. My example's on city council, and I'll pick on my colleague, John Parker. Council members get a lot of information, and we have to come prepared, read through all of that, ask questions. And so we have a lot more information at the time than I think a lot of citizens have. And I don't remember the issue, John Parker, but we were at a council meeting, and he and I just disagreed. But what I think was good about it is we talked it through. We listened to each other. We brainstormed together. We thought through how can we accomplish this, because I knew from my heart of hearts and his heart of hearts that we were coming at it for what's best for Indianola. And we had to find a solution. And I think when you can listen to each other and talk through, I shared my concerns, I asked my questions, he shared his concerns, he asked his questions, and we worked through it. And I remember just having that moment of like, I hadn't thought about it that way. He just came at it with a different approach than I had. And I think it was one of those positive interactions that we could have, that is exactly what council should be doing, our city government and our state government and our federal government. We need to be listening to each other. We need to be working together to find solutions. That night we both agreed and voted in the same fashion on that issue. And I think that there is lots of possibilities, but we have to pause and give each other a chance and listen to each other.
And the next question, we'll go to Pam first. While the city of Indianola makes many of its own decisions, the state dictates things like rollbacks on property values, adding a rental property inspector, and changes to the rollback for multifamily homes. What city issues would you advocate for at the legislative level?
Great question. Rollback. I think, you know, the state's making some changes to our rollback, so that's how much money we will take, how much less we pay. I think we need to be talking to our legislators about that. I'm a part of a metropolitan group that does talk through city issues and how we can work with our state legislature. The state legislators come and talk to us, share where they're at. We can share thoughts, ideas. So I think we just need to, again, keep advocating, keep pushing. I think rollback's critical to who we are. It's going to affect our budget greatly. And I think we just need to keep advocating for our stance and try to work through how we can come to some kind of common ground.
Stephanie.
I agree with Pam on the rollback. That's definitely an important topic to continue in front of our legislature about. Another thing that I'm very passionate about is community mental health, and that is also something that is on my agenda, if elected, that I want to work at the Capitol with. Now, we know that that is an uphill battle right now. Funding is tight, but this past year has done devastating things to children, to adults, and friendships, families. And so I think that it's important that we offer community mental health. I was looking at a study that was done by the state, and now this information is from 2018, and it's on the Iowa Department of Public Health's website, but It says that currently right now Warren County does not have a psychiatrist in Warren County. So how can we attract a psychiatrist to bring their business here? And how can we work with our state in regards to funding issues that we see?
Thank you. The next question goes to Stephanie first. There is a segment of people in Indianola who seem to feel shut out of community decision-making. Should the mayor play a role in addressing those people? And if so, how would you do it?
That's an excellent question. I am probably one of those people who I feel shut out. And so that is another reason why I am here. Oftentimes, I will ask questions. I will send emails and reminder of them below, but I won't get a response. And I find that frustrating. And I've had council members who have not responded to emails where I've asked valid questions, where how can I get involved in this community? What can I do? What do you think that my skill set? So I definitely think it's important, but I also think it's important no matter who wins, Pam or myself, that we work together to bridge the gap of the citizens. There is a huge divide, and I think the first part that we need to do is acknowledge that people feel this way. Now, we don't have to agree with them, but if we validate people's concerns and we make them feel that we are listening, we will go a whole lot further together. Because if I felt like I was being listened to, I'm not sure I would have ran back in March. So that's the thing that's really important here, that we are ensuring all these residents feel validated and that they are welcome here.
Pam?
Sure. I think there's lots of ways that a citizen can be heard. That's in a positive way and that can bring forth their concerns. I'd encourage anyone to attend a city council meeting. At those meetings, we start every meeting with an open forum. Anybody can come to the microphone, ask their questions, try to figure out where they need to go, what do they need to do, what's that next step. I think people need to come and ask questions. I have said numerous times, my door is open. I'm happy to meet with people. I respond to those that email me, call me. I follow up with them. I'm happy to meet with anyone. I think their staff is also willing to meet with people. Again, bring their questions. We will work through it. I have seen our staff do this numerous times, stay after a council meeting, when someone just doesn't understand something and they've walked them through the process of what they need to do to make that change. And I've seen council members do it as well. I have done it as well. I think also the big piece I do as mayor is I advocate for people to get involved in our boards and commissions. I know personally, I was asked when I worked at Simpson College to serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I didn't know anything about planning and zoning. But I said, sure, I'll do this. And let me tell you, I learned a great deal about our city and how it functions and how all of it functions. And it's from that experience that I think it prepared me to be a better city council member, and I know it prepared me to be a better mayor. So I encourage people to find a board, a commission that they're interested in, and be a part of it.
Leading a city is an intricate process. And Pam, this question starts with you. Tell us about what you're doing to prepare yourself to be mayor.
Well, I'm doing the mayoral job as we speak. So I have a lot of experience with this these last 11 months. I have been meeting with citizens. I've been meeting with county officials. I have been meeting with school officials. I have a good communication with our council members all the time. I have good communication with our city staff. I have good communication with people who have questions and interests. So I think it's, again, talking to people, listening to people, asking what their input is, trying to find new solutions. Brainstorming is always important. And I think we're doing some of that stuff. So I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of what this job entails. I've enjoyed it tremendously. It's been a great experience, and I hope I can continue.
Stephanie.
The first thing that I did, and this is actually prior to today and this race, was back in 2019. I watched 6 years of meetings. I felt that was really important to understand a lot of the dynamics that we have going on in our community. So that has been a wealth of knowledge. I've continued to watch them. I watch planning and zoning. I watch IMU. And I also have two mentors. I have a mentor of a city council woman in Ankeny, and then I also have a mayor who is a mentor for me. And so I'm constantly learning. I don't know every part of this job. I'll be very clear about that. I've never held this position before. But I like to learn. I like to read. I enjoy contracts. I read the claims every meeting and see where we're spending our dollars and what we're doing with that. So I definitely think it's a big learning curve, but it's one I'm ready to take on and have the time and energy to do that.
And our next question goes first to Stephanie. How do you feel about the transportation options currently available in our city? Do we have enough options? And if not, what will you do to increase them?
I'll start out on a plug for the Bird scooters. I was a little pessimistic about that, but I think they're really fun. So I'd encourage citizens to go out there and, of course, being respectful for them. Not the transportation we're talking about, but a mode here in town. I think that it's worth maybe investigating a little bit more as far as bus access that we could provide to citizens. We do have a number of citizens who walk a lot. They don't have driver's license. So, again, something we need to do some deep research into and see what the community really needs. But I'm excited at the way we're going. Again, total pessimist on the Bird scooters. But council, good work. I'll give you that. Now that my son's 18, we took him for a spin one night, so we had a lot of fun. And I think we just have to continue to do that and figure out what the needs are of our residents.
Yeah.
We've explored some of these options in the past. That doesn't mean we can't look at them again, can't have conversations. I know there are numerous corporations in downtown that have carpools. They have a van program that they buy and that they commute together. We've talked to DIRT. DIRT has just said it hasn't been profitable for them to do this. They don't think there's enough people riding from Indianola into Des Moines. But I think we can continue to have that conversation and see what is needed. I also think citizens. I think our citizen survey is a great way for us to ask citizens what do they need, what do they want. This hasn't risen up too much on that survey in the past, but that doesn't mean we can't ask it again and see how we can pursue it.
And our next question goes to Pam first. Indianola's current city manager recently interviewed for a position in a larger community. If the position should become vacant soon, how would you advocate searching for a new city manager, and what qualifications would you seek?
Well, I've been through a city manager transition. This is the third city manager I've worked with during my tenure on the city. So we would first find a search firm to help us through this process. They sit down with council, walk through what they can provide us. We share what we're looking for, what we need. Qualifications that I'm looking for, I want a go-getter. I want somebody that knows what they're talking about, has experience, understands Indianola and how we function. Some of that will come with time as they learn and live here. But I think we just need to do everything we can to give them that great experience. When we've done this in the past, city manager interviews are kind of different than corporate interviews. I call it speed dating for city managers. All of the candidates are here at the same time, and they're running through the process together, as opposed to in the corporate world when you interview them over several days. But it does give you a chance to quickly compare strengths and weaknesses, and so I think you need to look through those. But I want somebody that really wants the job, will take the job, and take us to the next level, wanting more, not settling for, well, this is good enough. We always need to be moving forward.
Stephanie.
I agree with everything Pam said there, so I won't repeat that all. It will start with the search engine, and then I sit down with our council and our community and to find out what they are looking for. The most important thing to me is that we are trying to recruit someone here that wants to be here long-term, that wants to stay here and has roots that would bring them maybe back here. We've had some great city managers in the past, and currently, and I might surprise some people, I think we have a great one now. But I watched the process in which Marion did their interviews, and I really liked it. I liked that on Friday, on my way to the football game, I could watch the interviews, how they were going, and I enjoyed their community engagement there. So definitely it's not my decision as a mayor if elected, because again, I'm not sure that the mayor has a vote on that, on the hiring. They may have a vote on the hiring part. But again, this is a collaboration with everybody here in our community, a collaboration with IMU, collaboration with the current city council and the residents of who we want here.
And it goes so much faster with two candidates. With our last question, we'll start with Stephanie. If you received a $1 million grant to use for the city in any way you wanted, what would you do with it and why?
I recognize this question, Amy. This question was asked in March of Pam and I, and I got some pushback from some residents of the way I wanted to spend the money, but it's a hypothetical question, so I'm going to go into it as that. It is hypothetical. There's really no rules here. The most important piece is if we can ease the taxpayers' burden. And the second part was, I said there is a lot of deserving organizations that are getting off the ground. One that I am very passionate about is Heal House. And maybe we help them grow that. Helping Hand is another great organization here that helps so many families. And so, again, hypothetical, I realize that, you know, there are rules and what you can do, but I think we definitely would have a great opportunity to help some organizations that would need it and give back to the residents.
In future, when I ask that question, I'll say, you have to throw the rule book out the window. But, Pam?
I'll give the same answer I gave in March. Roads. Our citizen survey repeatedly comes back with, we need money for roads. There just isn't enough money in the budget. So we need to spend money on our roads. Easily, I would turn that $1 million. We just got some money from the American Rescue Plan. We're putting it towards roads. Council talked about it, said, what can we do? It was surprise money. We weren't expecting it. And we said, this is what the citizens are saying they want. We need to work on our roads. There's only so much money in our road use fund each year. And now we're also exploring, which I'm very excited about, other ways we can elongate the life of a road. There's other things we can do than just tear out and replace. And I'm thrilled that we're thinking about that, because then maybe we can expand the life for more roads using that $1 million as well.
All right. Well, I want to thank Simpson College Culver Center, particularly Director Seth Anderson, for his help with hosting this event. Thanks to KNIA and the AAUW for serving as co-sponsors. And please don't forget to vote between now and November 2nd. But join us here Thursday to hear from Steve Richardson and Randy Bickham, the candidates for the at-large council seat, and at Trinity United Presbyterian Church, October 11th, to hear from the Ward 2 and Ward 4 candidates. And we'll be back at the church on October 21st for a forum for the 10 candidates running for Indianola School Board. Last but not least, thanks again to all of the candidates who are running for office this fall.
And with that, we'll close the KNIA Special Edition News Magazine, the 2021 Indianola Mayoral Forum. I'd like to thank our hosts, Seth Anderson, the Culver Public Policy Center, Simpson College, the American Association of University Women, our moderator, Amy Duncan, with the Indianola Independent Advocate, our studio audience, and all of our radio listeners. A special thanks to our candidates who have stepped forward to serve the community. For KNIA Radio, I'm Bob Leonard. And for all of you listening, to reinforce what Amy just said, please remember, a vibrant democracy requires an active and informed citizenry. Please vote.
Thanks for tuning into this special edition news magazine on FM 94.3 KNIA in Indianola for the Indianola Mayoral Candidate Forum. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIA Indianola Knoxville.